In this session, we want to talk about what it means to be a spiritual mother and also what it means to be a spiritual father. Well, we start with spiritual father, and then we'll just morph our way into what it means to be a spiritual mother. Let me start with the scripture. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 19, down to verse 22. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him, no one else like Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because, and here's what I want you to see, as a son with his father, he served with me in the work of the gospel. Being a spiritual mother, spiritual father is all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. And you know, when you see it, always you see it everywhere. I know when my wife was pregnant for the first time, I never noticed women being pregnant. I thought everyone was pregnant. You see that. Or you get a different kind of a car. Anything. Everyone has that kind of a car. That's the way it is. When you see this, you'll see it all over the scriptures. So, Timothy was a spiritual son to Paul, and he served with Paul and proved himself as a servant leader. And obviously here, Paul commended him. Let me just give you a definition. A simple definition, the best definition I've ever found for being a spiritual mother or a spiritual father. It goes like this. A spiritual father or spiritual mother helps a spiritual son or spiritual daughter reach his or her God-given potential. Say it again. Let's start with spiritual father. A spiritual father helps a spiritual son reach his God-given potential. Spiritual mother. A spiritual mother helps her son or her daughter reach her God-given potential. Now, something that's really important here at the outset is that this is not a title or a position. And I like you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to show you why this is so important. This is a role of servanthood. It's not a title. It's not a position of any kind, but it's a role of servanthood. Now, the scripture tells us here, and we're going to start reading. Why don't we start reading in verse 8? He says, you're not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you're all brothers. Now, we know Jesus was a rabbi, but it's not this title, position, rabbi. He said, do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he's in heaven. I mean, people may say, well, you shouldn't be a spiritual father. The Bible says, don't call someone father. We talk about a title. My children don't call me Father Larry, right? But it's a role of servanthood. Then he says, nor do you to be called teacher. Now, Jesus was a teacher. There are many teachers. But it's not, again, a position. He says, for you have one teacher, the Christ, and here's the attitude, the heart attitude. Verse 11, the greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So, what we see here is we see this heart of servanthood, which is the bottom line for being a spiritual mother or being a spiritual father. Now, there are many terms you can use. People say, well, is it being a coach? Is it being a discipler? Is it being a mentor? What is the term? Well, you know, I find all those terms are fine. Coaches ask people questions, try to pull out of them what's really inside them. Mentors mentor people often in a certain type of role, certain kind of responsibility. Disciplers, often we think of discipling new believers often, even though discipleship is on many levels, help them understand the basics of the Christian life. But see, fathering and mothering encompasses everything. Well, you're really caring about the person. And, you know, somebody could be mentored in one area by one person, coached by somebody else in another area. That's all fine. But for a season of time, when God gives you someone and you say, I'm going to be a spiritual mother or father to them, you want to help them fulfill the purpose of God for their lives. Let me give you a couple similarities between being a spiritual a father or being a natural father. Here's just some examples. Fathers demonstrate love. You know, I love my four children, demonstrate love to them, tell them I love them. Because without love, a son won't grow. Our daughter, really, it's very hard to grow. They'll be held back. And often we affirm our children and we provide the security for them in this sense of love that God gives to us. And I am blessed to have spiritual fathers, or as a father, there's spiritual sons on many various continents of the world. And, you know, sometimes it's email, sometimes it's Skype. You know, sometimes you see them in person. I remember when I was mentoring someone in England for many years. And whenever I went to Africa or somewhere, I'd always stop at this one airport in England on the way back. We'd meet for a couple hours, one-on-one, just to spend time with him. Because I love this young man so much. And today, he's an amazing man of God as part of our international team. So, fathers demonstrate love. Number two, fathers train and they disciple and they discipline. Now, I'm not talking about controlling people. I'm talking about directing people, teaching them to live a disciplined life. And I remember traveling with someone I was mentoring and to another country, and I was spiritually fathering this leader in this other country. And this young man came with me, and he had some experience. He had been a church planter in business and leadership. And so he really didn't know this pastor very well that I was mentoring. And he just sat there and he said, well, here's what I think you should do. And gave him all this input. Well, what did I do later on during the day? I said, you know, you didn't have a sense of authority to do that because you didn't have that sense role in his life yet. It's fine to give your opinion, but you need to wait until there's a sense of trust built. This is all built in trust. He said, oh, you're right. Thank you for that. It's the way I was able to direct him. Natural fathers do that and spiritual fathers do that. Number three, fathers provide. It means to enrich and sustain. It doesn't mean we provide financially. Of course, we do our natural children as they're young growing up, but when they're older, we no longer do. But we want to see them rich. We provide a legacy of spirit that can only come from a spiritual father to a spiritual child. Fathers reproduce, obviously. Natural fathers have, you know, contribute to new life. And, of course, we do the same thing. Every generation is one generation away from the greatest revival there ever was, or pure heathenism. That can we take the kingdom of God into the next generation? We do that relationally as spiritual fathers to spiritual sons. So we reproduce also. Number five, fathers bless and impart. Impart means to give to somebody else something that we have. I love Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Paul says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's, by one another's faith or each other's faith. So he said, there'll be a sense of impartation. And I don't claim to understand impartation, but I know it's real. You know, somehow Jacob and Esau both wanted their father's blessing, if you remember that. And often I lay my hands on those that I'm mentoring and just pray blessing over them. We impart. God's given you a lot, and you can give it into the next generation. Number six, spiritual fathers and mothers, obviously, have been with Jesus. You can't give people things you don't have. So Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished because they realized that these men, they took note, they had been with Jesus. So obviously, as we spend time with God, we can pour into those and the next generation what God has given to us. And we can mother and father others and be followed at the same time. Number seven, fathers are models. They are examples to others. And so, you know, for example, the disciples said to Jesus, some of them were John's disciples. They said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples, because they saw what happened when Jesus prayed. And we obviously can mentor others, and we mentor others as we're models and examples of the things that we are mentoring. If I'm, you know, for example, people I've watched for years, as I mentor, watch how I relate to my wife, Laverne. And how God's given us 45 years of marriage, and it's been a great, great blessing. We're the closest friends in the world. She's my closest friend, and we're more in love today than ever before. But see, that has been model for others. And I said, one of the men I worked with for many years told me a few months back, he said, I'm so grateful. He said, we have the model to look at in your life as far as your relationship with Laverne. He said, and that's what we want. That's what we want in our lives, in our generation. And that's all by the grace of God. Number eight, fathers give their sons a sense of significance. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I would have never have picked the 12 disciples. I just wouldn't have done it, because I saw too many issues in their lives. But Jesus saw something in the 12 that nobody else had seen. And so he chose the 12 disciples. Amazing. And, of course, you know, 11 of them, one, you know, obviously Judas went absent without leave, so to speak, and, you know, his own issues. But the other disciples, you know, all, even though they had difficulties and Peter denied him, but they all were restored and came back, and the foundations of the church built on Jesus, and of course those that he mentored, those he trained. But see, Jesus gave them a sense of significance. I remember as a young man, I'd been a missionary and come back in my early 20s. I never preached in a church because I wasn't a pastor. But I was asked to preach at this Sunday night service of a local church in a town right near where I live. And I remember I was so scared. I prepared. I had all these notes. And when I actually gave the message, I think I did the whole thing in 10 or 15 minutes. I was just scared. And what really scared me is I noticed that in the audience, and this was in a conventional church, it was in a church building. And I remember I saw sitting right in the end, I can still see today where it was, and this missionary statesman, I never met him, I saw his picture in magazines. I thought, he's here, what's he going to think? What do I have to offer? I had all this insecurity. I'll never forget, it was all over, and I was feeling really bad, like, man, you know, I did not do a good job at all. And I remember walking to the back of the church building. He came out of the aisle, reached out, took my hand. Here's what he said. He said, Larry, there's a call of God in your life. That's what he said. Now, he probably told everybody that. I still remember it. Still today. It gave me a sense of significance. And see, spiritual fathers and spiritual moms will give their kids spiritually, naturally and spiritually, give them a sense of significance. And the other thing I want to mention to you is that fathers see potential in their spiritual sons and daughters. Show them the potential. Tell them what you see. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 22:6, train a child on the way he should go. When he's old, he will not turn from it. And I feel like, you know, the term that's used there, in the way he should go, means according to their bent. We have four children, naturally, they're all different. We relate to each of them differently. They all have their own call from God. And your spiritual children will all be different. What works with one may not work with another. And that's why we help them set goals according to their bent, according to how God has wired them. Everyone in your house church is not called to plant a house church. They'll all be involved in house church. They'll all be involved, hopefully, in some kind of role somehow, discipling people or whatever. They might not all be called to start one. But you'll need to find what's going on, what's God doing in their lives, and help them fulfill that. And fathers are available. You know, I many times when I travel, I take younger leaders with me, and just for the sake of mentoring. That's when I have opportunity. That's when I have time to do that. And I remember I was in China years ago, and I was ministering to a group of uncles, as they call them, these apostolic leaders of underground churches, and representing thousands and thousands of house churches in China. And I remember I took a young man with me who was in his 20s. I was mentored for many years. And I remember after one of my sessions, I spoke about being a spiritual father. And I couldn't speak a word of Chinese, and these brothers and sisters couldn't speak a word of English. But an elderly Chinese leader came up to me, took my hand, took my this young man's hand, put it in my hand like this, put his hands in our hands, and went like this. Because he caught it. He understood. He understood it. You know, sometimes we just become teachers. We don't become fathers. Let me tell you the difference. See, a teacher will impart information. A father gives time. And that is the difference. Now, I really wish my wife Laverne would be here, because she can unpack spiritual mothering a lot better than I can. But let me share a few things with you about being a spiritual mother and what that means. And she says it well, and I'm simply teaching what I've heard her teach many, many times. She says how God wants to permeate this nurtureless society, and women have this nurturing heart, this nurturing spirit. I find women often are better at spiritual parenting even than men. That's why I believe many house churches will be led by women, women of God, who have this mother's heart and are going to impart to this next generation. You know, the Phoebes and the Deborahs and the Lydias of the scriptures. God's going to release so many in the days of the Junias and others that we live in. So fathers can nurture and mothers can nurture, but really it comes much more natural often for mothers. And so God wants to impart to women the nurturing heart of a father. And my wife says, Laverne says often, women are crying out for this everywhere she goes. My wife Laverne mentors so many women, wives of leaders, leaders themselves in their own right, and because there's such a need for this in our generation. Isaiah 49:15 says this, can a woman forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you, God says. See, I've engraved you on the palms of my hand. So in the same way God is nurturing us, He's placed that nurturing heart inside of us, especially in women of God, to nurture the next generation. We call it the mother heart of God. There's a father heart of God. There's a mother heart of God. You know, one Hebrew word for God is El Shaddai. And El comes from the root meaning might and strength. Shad is Hebrew for breast or many-breasted one, showing tenderness, desire to nurture us and make us fruitful. And that is what God's doing. He's imparting His heart to women of this generation. Many will be leading house churches, co-leading house churches, on-house church leadership teams, but their heart is to mentor and to help and encourage, especially the women of our generation. Titus chapter 2 gives a mandate, and I want to read this to you. Titus 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. Likewise, teach the older women, there we go, to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, be kind, be subject to their husband, so that no one will malign the word of God. So Paul is exhorting older women to place their energies into training and teaching younger women. And my wife, Laverne, when she was a pastor, we pastored this church of 130 house fellowships, and you know, this church grew into a mega church. I remember well that she spent most of her time investing in younger women. She had the pressures of having women's groups and all kinds of other things, but she realized, no, she was called to find key women that God showed her, invest into them. And you know, it's been amazing how by doing that today, the international movement that we're privileged to lead this team, to lead this movement, and much of it came out of that mentoring many years ago. I've often said my wife Laverne is the secret behind, and you know, except bless the grace of God, all that's happened in the Dove International family because of her mentoring so many women who've then worked with their husbands and helped their husbands. And of course, some are single women, but it's just powerful just seeing what God has done through her as she's mentored another generation. Here's the deal. Spiritual mothering is not a program. It's not a goal. It's a lifestyle. It's having a heart for this next generation. And it's not chronological in age. You can have a 16-year-old imparting into somebody's life who's 30 or 40 or 50. You can. It just depends on how God is putting this together. And you don't have to. And Laverne tells women all the time, you have to wait till you're older. You can do this now. I mentioned in a past session that a 12-year-old girl was with a spiritual mom mentoring some girls in school. Now here's how it works. A spiritual mother comes alongside and puts her arm around a younger woman and says, "You can make it." Here's the definition for spiritual mothering. When a woman possessing faith and spiritual maturity enters into a nurturing relationship with a younger woman in order to encourage and equip her to live for God's glory. That's what a spiritual mother is all about. And again, age isn't the issue. Obedience is the issue. Now, spiritual mothering does involve acceptance, encouragement. It involves a vulnerability. And encouragement means to inspire. My wife, Laverne, says often, women today just need to be encouraged. Especially if they're young, they're young married, they have young children and babies. And just to say, look, this is just a season. You're going to get through this. God's going to give you grace. And you'll have time for other things in the future. I remember when Laverne was so involved with me in ministry, we started to have children. Things started to change. And we were so grateful for a few older women who spoke into her life and said, the most important thing you can do right now is be a mom to your kids. And so it's this kind of spiritual mothering that's so, so powerful. So what hinders spiritual mothering? Selfishness. I raised my kids. I paid my dues. No, we're called to be spiritual moms and spiritual dads, regardless of how old we are. And people say, I've done my duty. What if Jesus would have done that? You know, but no, he followed through. He gave his life. He went to the cross. He's calling us to give our lives also. The other thing that hinders spiritual mothering is this poor self-image. Or maybe fear of rejection. Thinking, I have nothing to offer. Christ lives in you. I heard my wife Laverne say this so many times, telling women, Jesus Christ lives in you. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see from the scriptures in Galatians 2 and verse 20, Christ lives in you, the life that we now live in this flesh. We live by the faith of God because he loves us. He died for us because he lives in us. He gives us the strength to be the spiritual mothers that he's called us to be. So just see what the Father's doing in your life if you're a woman of God, and see what God, are the people God's placed there already? And are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord? It might just be for a season. It might be for 3 months or 6 months or a year. But is there someone you can begin to pour your life into? Because again, I am convinced there's going to be thousands and thousands of new house churches led by women of God who are spiritual mothers. Or you're a woman of God helping somebody else lead a house church because there's a call of God in your life. It's neither male nor female in the kingdom of God. God anoints and calls us all to see his purposes fulfilled, to make disciples, to be spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers in this generation.